In southern Oregon, there is a beautiful scenic area called Crater Lake National Park, and I'm sure some of you have been there. The central attraction is a stunning, clear, deep body of water called Crater Lake. High up in the Cascade Range, this quiet, peaceful, majestic lake is a marvel to behold, especially when we learn that it was formed 7,700 years ago in an act of extreme natural violence. A mountain literally blew up and collapsed into itself, creating this huge crater, 20 square miles on the surface, almost 2,000 feet deep. And as one stands there, admiring this incredibly gorgeous, crystal clear, blue quirk of nature, one wonders what the indigenous people at that time might have thought was happening. They witnessed this explosion that shook the earth for miles and miles around. Was it the end of the world, they wondered? Will we survive this terrible force? Who or what could have made the gods so angry as to bring about such a massive display of destruction? And yet, we know that this violent act of nature gave way to one of the most serene and majestic places in the world. This image came to mind as I reflected on today's readings. Scripture contains much apocalyptic writing, stories, language about the end of time, filled with scenes of violence and destruction, earthquakes, plagues, famine, wars, fearful omens and great signs in the sky. Apocalyptic language. And yet these ancient prophecies also give us hope. For they speak of what lies beyond the destruction, beyond the devastation. And today's first reading is a good example. The ancient prophet Malachi tells us that the future, known to God alone, will bring healing and reward to the just. He also tells us it will bring retribution for the wicked. But for you, he says, for you who fear God's name, there will arise the Sun of Justice with its healing rays. Yes, there will be destruction, and then healing. Transition. From one thing to another, from one state of existence to another, fear gives way to consolation and hope. Transition. We're all familiar with it. We are surrounded by it. Death itself is a good example. Life as we know it must one day end. Life as we know it must give up everything at some time, even its last breath, so that new life, greater life, eternal life can begin. As Christians, we believe this, and we believe that Jesus was sent by the Father to initiate the kingdom of God here on earth. And he accomplished that mission with his life. But it was a life that included suffering, rejection, death, and then came resurrection and glory. Next Sunday is the last Sunday of the liturgical year. It's the feast of Christ the King. And then we will start again the week after that with a new church year and the season of Advent. Every year, as our church calendar nears its end, our readings at Mass speak to us of the last things, the end times, not to scare us, but to remind us that the future holds a day when even the most significant human accomplishments and achievements will fade away. It's happened throughout history. The people of the first century looked at the temple in Jerusalem. It seemed timeless, indestructible. And yet, within 40 years of Jesus' death, that great temple, which took 50 years to build, was nothing but rubble. Not a stone left upon a stone, Jesus said. Jesus brought the kingdom of God to our world. But that kingdom will only reach its fullness when time, as we know it, comes to an end. What do we know about that day? Not much. We don't know how it will end. We don't know when it will end. But we do know this. The God of Genesis, the creator of all things, looked upon this world and saw that it was very good. Jesus tries to calm our fears in this gospel. He says, yes, there will be struggle. There will be trial. There will be persecution. There will be division. And much that we do not understand. But by faithful perseverance, we will save our lives. The end of time should not be seen only as destruction of all creation. After all, God sees his creation as something good. God loves this world. Jesus redeemed this world. The Holy Spirit dwells in this world. When the apocalyptic scriptures stir up our imaginations and make us feel a little uneasy, they have probably fulfilled their purpose. Because all of us need to be reminded that there is more to life than what we have experienced. There is more to life than what we see. The exact plan of God for our world and for each one of us is beyond our comprehension. What Jesus describes in today's gospel has been true of the world at every point in its history. If you think about it, when have there not been wars or earthquakes or famine or persecution or typhoons or oppression? Our faith tells us that there is a connection between what happens to us now and the future. There's a connection between how we live, how we work, how we love, how we struggle, how we care for one another. There's a connection between our life now and what awaits us later, beyond time, beyond this world, beyond this life. The God who loves us will not abandon us. The God who loves us will bring healing and transition. And by patient, faithful perseverance, we will secure our lives.